Well, I love these verses from Jesus, this long extended passage of Jesus' words that finish with this prayer for unity for the church of all time, his prayer for unity for us. I also really like that picture that Penny has shared, this idea of us running, and we've got the compass of Jesus Christ showing us where to go. And in the midst of this, God is cheering us on as the body of Christ. I don't know if you've ever played football or watched particularly a young team of football players or soccer, as some may prefer to call. And you know, when you see young players together, pretty much in any ball sport, they all go for the ball at once, every one of them. You know, when you see this huddle of 5-year-olds all chasing the ball around the field, and not just that, but the opposition as well. So there's two huddles of players chasing the ball around the field. All of them are seeking to be the one that kicks the ball towards the goal. And what we learn as we grow and develop as players, although my sporting career did not last very long, in intermediate I found my position in the back on the soccer field, and later on I found that my best position was left right out. That was where I suited it the most. But the thing is as you learn to play as a team. And being a team that is working together does not mean all being in on the ball at the same time. Being a team means finding the strength of your own position that you're in and working together to the strengths of the team. So, in that little picture, when we think about unity and this prayer for unity, it may not mean that all of us are chasing the same thing. It may not mean that all of us are going in exactly the same place or position or direction. There is unity in the strength of the positions that God has placed us in. Unity has been something that is on my heart throughout this ministry calling that God has given me. In fact, this was the very first series that I did when I became a pastor, was a series of teaching on unity in the body of Christ. And this idea, the problem is, see, I actually really believe it. I actually really believe that there is a possibility that the church can be united in our heart on really significant and difficult issues. We often talk about unity in the body of Christ, and my observation over the last decade or so of ministry is that some people, some Christians in the church, they want unity, but what they really mean by that is, I want everyone to come and join me in my position. I want everyone to see it as I see it. I want everyone to be on my side. And yet the reality is that God has made us the body of Christ with different parts: the eyes, the foot, the mouth, the head. And in these different parts, of which Christ is the head, obviously, we are seeking his will, recognizing what God has gifted us with individually and how that works together for the unity of the whole body of Christ. To illustrate this slightly different, see, here I am sitting in front of a camera, and you may have seen a bit of FaceTime of me in these online service settings. And yet there's a whole team of people that are working together in different ways to put this together. I want to take a moment to give a bit of a shout out to Josh. And even though you may not have seen him as much as you see me on the camera, he has every single week over these last few months, he's been the one that has been putting together these online services. I just want to say thank you, Josh. You are amazing. We couldn't be here doing what we're doing without you and the broad gifts and strengths that God has given you in this season. And that's just an example. As the body of Christ, we are in different places and different positions, and God is calling us to a place of unity together. As we look at this prayer of Jesus, I'm really inspired by the words that he says. He says these words, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray for all of those who will believe in me through their message. Ultimately, he's talking about us as well. Everyone who would come to know him in the future and all time, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. This is profound. We as Christians believe in the Trinitarian God consisting of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This divine, eternal unity between Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, three persons in this divine union together. And somehow God is saying, Jesus is praying, in the same way, Father, that I am in you and you are in me, may the church be one. May they be in us. And so this is a profound calling that we have been invited not just to agree and get on together, but God is calling us into something of the Trinitarian unity that holds God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. This is deeply profound. And he goes on to say, to pray, Jesus prays, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. And there is something about Christian unity that when it happens well, it sends a message. It sends a proclamation to the world that we are God's people. It sends a message that they recognize Jesus when the church is united. It goes on to say this. Jesus says, I have given them, he's given us, I have given them the same glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. So looking at these different components of being brought into Trinitarian unity, of being in that place of when that happens, when the church is united, it sends a message to the world that Jesus is Lord. The world recognizes Jesus through the loving unity of the church. This seems to be expressed here in this prayer. And finally, that God has given us something of his glory, and that glory is displayed through that unity. And so in light of this, I'm wondering if the opposite is true. If this is true, does it also mean that disunity would bring dishonor to Jesus? If unity helps the world to know Jesus, I wonder if disunity amongst God's people makes it harder for the world to see Jesus. And to make it really personal, when there is this division between me and another brother or sister in Christ, does that division cause those around me who don't know Jesus, does it cause them to find it harder to recognize Jesus and harder to recognize our God when that disunity occurs, where there is friction, where there is division? And so this is really important to Jesus. In fact, this is the prayer that John records just before Jesus is betrayed. This is the prayer that is on his heart and on his mind as he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and sweats drops of blood. He is praying for the cross and the situation he's about to face, and he's also praying for the purpose of that cross, that the church may be brought into that divine love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit share. He's praying for us that we may be united with him, be one in Christ, and he's praying that all of us may be united together as the body of Christ. So deeply on the heart of Jesus was this prayer as he went to the cross, and this is our prayer as the body of Christ today. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this same passage of scripture pop up in different settings over the last few weeks, there is something that we need to hear this week about this call to unity. Right now, there might be a traffic light system that hasn't yet even come into play when it comes to gatherings and vaccinations and activities in our nation. But I want to tell you that right now, there is a green light on unity. There is a green light calling of Jesus to the church of God back to a place of unity together. And there is a green light on God's mission. There is nothing that is holding us back of stopping us from being united as the body of Christ and being called together to proclaim Jesus in the settings that we are in the relationships that we already have. There is a green light now on God's calling to mission and God's calling to unity. And it starts with us. It starts with you and me. And there is this natural default setting that each of us have. We see things from our own perspective, and we want everyone else to see our perspective as well. We want to be the kid that's running around chasing the ball. We want to be the one that when we get to the ball, we're just kicking it towards a goal as far as we can. We want to be involved, and we want to be in the middle of the play. And yet sometimes that God is calling us to find our position of strength. So I just want to highlight three areas of unity where we can find unity as Christians. The first place is surrender. The second place is the strength of our God-given position. The third area is starting in Christ. So just to go in depth a little bit more, you might even want to grab a pen. This might actually be good. So the first place is surrender to Christ, not fighting for myself. The starting place of all Christian activity as followers of Jesus is to take up our cross daily to follow him. And the same is true when it comes to unity in the body of Christ. The starting place is as we humbly lay down our lives for Jesus. That's the starting place. We need to surrender. This is the first act of unity, the surrender of my will to the will of Jesus Christ. The second area is strengthening our God-given position. Now, that's different from pushing my own personal preference. It's finding the place of God's unique calling in our life. Now, we might actually hold slightly different views. The eye might see things different or interact with the world differently from the way that the ear does or the hand does. God has made us unique and different. And we need to find this place of recognizing that as the body of Christ, we will be stronger and more unified when we recognize the God-given position that God has placed us in, and also the God-given position and perspective that God has enabled other people with. Unity won't come by everyone arriving at my opinion. Unity will come as the gathered body of Christ discerning together from the unique positions and perspective that God has given each of us to come to a new place forward in this journey that God has called us to. So there is first an act of surrender of our will to the will of Jesus Christ. Secondly, strengthening our God-given position, being secure in the place that God has placed us and the perspective that he has given. And then thirdly, the starting place in Christ. And what I mean by that is unity is not just a destination that we hope to work towards. We're not just hoping that we will come from divided opinions and work towards a place of unity. No, it's actually in this backward kingdom of God perspective. There is, just like Jesus says, we are one in him. The unity starts by being in Christ together. So the starting place of the journey of Christian unity actually starts with unity. It starts with union in Christ. It starts with us recognizing our identity is in Christ. And my brother and sister in Christ, their identity is in Christ. So we are already united in Christ before we even begin the conversation. And from that position, we move towards unity of heart. Now, what that means is that we are not a bunch of divided people with different opinions that are trying to find a place of unity. No, we are starting from a place of unity and union in Christ and then moving forward from there. Now, if we don't have that starting place correct from the very beginning, then there's no point even starting the conversation. So the goal is not to get to an agreement of opinion or an agreement of a, you know, the product, the outcome, the goal, the result that we want to see. The important part for us right now and in the conversations our nation is having is to start with this place of identity and union with Christ, where we are now. Church, we need that. There is a green light right now of God saying, this is the time to be united, to find yourself in me, to surrender yourself, your will to Jesus Christ, to strengthen that position that God has given you and placed you in, and the perspective that you carry to bring to the body of Christ. And thirdly, to start in union with Christ together. So as we move forward from here, there are lots of different conversations that our church is going to need to have, like other churches around the nation at the time, as we interact with this new red, orange, green light system and what that means for us. I have some personal opinions at this point, and right at this point, I don't feel to share what that exactly is, because I believe that the starting place God is calling us to is, as the body of Christ, to be united in our vision of collectively working together as God's people, where every single person in our church is valued for who you are, no matter where you stand on a particular issue. And it's from this place of unity and listening that collectively we will find the way that God is calling us to. And like that picture that Penny had of the orienteers, and that they're just they're having to work to the next step, the next clue, the next task. But the thing is that they have this compass of Jesus Christ, and Christ is the one who is leading us and directing us. And God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is cheering us on. Come on, team, you can do this. You can do this. That parent from the sideline that is calling out and encouraging us, this is where God is calling us to. So I feel this incredible sense of hope right now, hope and encouragement for this green light of unity and love in the body of Christ, and this green light of God's calling to mission. As we look at the early church in the book of Acts, there were all these different features that define them. I'd love you to go through that list in Acts 4 and find all those places where there is this mention of togetherness and being united. Read through it and count how many times those words emerge. This is definitely a word that defined the early church, and may it define us. May we be known, as Jesus prayed, for our love for God and our love for one another. May we be one in Him as He has been praying for us. Hey, just really want to bless you and encourage you on this journey forward. We're now going to move into a time of worship and also intercession as our leadership team prays for our nation, for families, for individuals, and prays for the churches of New Zealand.